We're going to talk now about the Munster Technological University and the whole area of higher education, because with me on the line we've got the Minister for Further Higher Education, Patrick O'Donovan, who's in Tralee this morning to take a look at the latest developments at the Munster Technological University, and particularly the STEM building, which was topped out last month and due to open next year. The new 8,913 square metre building will provide new lecture theatres, classrooms, machinery, workshops, halls and laboratory space as well. Minister, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Morning, Jerry. Morning to your listeners.
You're looking at progress in this area in the MTU with this new multi-million euro building.
Yeah, so look, first of all, this is a part of a bigger investment. It's 130 million euros in total when you take into account as part of a bundle between Cork, Tralee, Dundalk, Dublin, Turles and Galway. So this element of it in Tralee is quite substantial, to be honest about it. As you say, it's not an insignificant space. It's a huge building, and it'll really allow for the development of the teaching of science, technology, engineering and maths in MTU Tralee. So my predecessor, the now Taoiseach, was a huge supporter and a huge proponent of MTU Tralee, and you know, he put a lot of emphasis on capital programs into the MTUs, and I hadn't a chance to go to the topping out because I had my own difficulties at home, but this is just really an opportunity for me to see the progress of work that's going on with the contractor, meet the management of the university on the ground, and hear what their priorities are for the future development of the Munster Technological University in Kerry.
That is part of it and part of that development. There's another planned development for MTU, and that is the ability to be able to try and build its own student accommodation. Is that something you'd like to see be developed?
Yeah, so look, I'm due to meet the Technological University shortly. This is obviously an ongoing issue with an awful lot of universities, particularly technological universities, because I suppose they're recent in advent. You know, they've only been created recently, and they haven't had the same level of experience and capacity as the other universities would have had. So they certainly will need a lot of assistance, financial and otherwise, from the government through the Higher Education Authority going forward. But I think that one of the things that has been kind of undersold, and certainly was the case when I was met the Technological University of the Shannon recently, when it came to looking at their accommodation availability, is that now you can be earning up to 15,000 euros a year from the rent a room scheme in the tradition of what we call digs, and it doesn't impact on your tax, and it doesn't impact on any pension arrangements that you would have. And we've seen a growth in that, and through the summer I hope to be in a position to expand awareness of that need, really, that people would engage more and consider more, particularly people in the towns that I've mentioned, like Tralee and Athlone and others, and the larger urban centres, that they will consider the concept of maybe bringing a student into their own house. Because I know for a lot of people, if they're living on their own, or if their kind of work has finished and they're at a stage of retirement, they might be looking to earn a few pounds extra. And this is a very legitimate way to do it. It's supported by the Department of Finance and my own department, and I'm looking, already started discussions around the budget to see if that's something that our colleagues in government would be amenable to expanding.
Yeah, so that to get more people to open up their homes, to allow more students to live there, and make it cost effective for the people doing so. Because when it comes to building and it comes to purchasing, we've seen a number of missteps by universities, not least University of Limerick, with still questions going on there about, you know, funding problems based on decisions made.
Yeah. So look, some of the universities, I suppose it's not fair to tar them all with one brush. And I know that's not what you're doing, but there has been some really catastrophic lapses in governance, and without mentioning anyone in particular, because some of them are under investigation by the Higher Education Authority and others have a Garda element. You know, I met the Irish Universities Association last week, and I really drilled home this message that, you know, when it came to funding from the government, you can't have your cake and eat it. You can't be saying that we're completely autonomous but yet completely reliant on the government. So one of the things I think that is a legitimate, you know, quid pro quo from me as minister, is that if we're given money to universities to develop, we expect basic levels of good governance. In other words, that people can account for the money that they're getting from the state, and if they can't, there's going to be a problem, and me and them are going to part ways. And so I think what we have seen in the recent past with the passing of the Higher Education Authority Act by my predecessor, the Taoiseach, allows the HEA now to do things that they wouldn't have otherwise been able to do, because you have this kind of a conundrum that their universities are autonomous, they're independent for good reason, that the government shouldn't be inside telling them how to teach. However, that comes with a degree of responsibility, that if you are independent but you're completely reliant on the state for the operation, you know, that's cake and eat it territory, and it's certainly something that I feel that there needs to be more done with. And I've asked the Irish Universities Association to go away and come back to me with proposals as to how they believe that they can feed into a stronger code of governance around making sure that the taxpayers of Ireland are protected.
Yeah, just on student accommodation finally, I know there was a SUSE grant hike announced earlier this year. That comes into place from September. Is there going to be more supports for students to try and get through and deal with the cost of third level?
Well, look, across the education spectrum over the last number of years, whether it is in primary or secondary, with the reduction in the pupil-teacher ratio that my colleague Norma Foley would have driven, or whether it's in relation to the SUSE grant changes that Simon Harris would have done, the government has invested heavily across all elements of education, and my priority will be continuing the work that Simon Harris has started over the last number of years around SUSE eligibility, distance from colleges, rates and things like that. But I'm in a competitive environment, and I will need the support of colleagues like Brendan Griffin and others in that all to advocate for changes in this area, because oftentimes it's, you know, he who sings loudest is heard the most, and certainly over the last number of years we have made huge improvements in the higher education area around costs. Inflation is a big enemy of cost reduction, because what you'd have got for €5 this year is totally different to what you'd get for €5 two or three years ago. We're all conscious of that. Everybody who's running a household is aware of that. So we are looking to try and increase the thresholds and widen the bend. But I'm competing with health, roads, environment, housing, you name it. So it is going to be difficult, and that's why I'll be looking for even those who don't vote with us, but those who are capable of making plenty noise, and there's a last lot of them around, to at least advocate for the needs of third level students and their parents.
Okay, listen, I don't know if there's any point in asking you this next question. I'm going to ask it anyway. It's not your decision, but October election...
Well, the very fact that you started the sentence by saying, I think there's no point in me asking you this, is really, you kind of gave it away there, Gerry.
I did. Look, notwithstanding that, there's four by-elections to be had. There's a lot of moving parts in this, and there's a big central question. The amount of work, like, for instance, you want to do between now and whenever the next election is called in your portfolio, the amount of work that this government is able to do with the majority in the Dáil, and four by-elections to come, there's a lot to be considered.
There is, and there's a lot for the electorate to consider as well. And the electorate, I think, have sat back now in the aftermath of the local and European election results, and they now see, and they're looking around Europe, and they're looking around the world, and they're looking on over the ditch at the neighbours, and they're saying, oh my God, aren't we lucky that we're not there? Because one thing is for certain, the result of the local and European election, if it was transferred into a general election, would see the two larger government parties and the smaller one given the mandate of the people by way of stability, which is what the people did by way of the local elections. Because, like, you can go out and you can elect Tom, Dick and Harry, but unless Tom, Dick and Harry are prepared to actually, first of all, consider going into government, and I know there are a lot of them who wouldn't, they'd prefer to, you know, to go to hell and back on a pony before they'd even contemplate going into government, because government is about, what I said a while ago, it's about making decisions. And when you don't have to make a decision and you can roar and bawl at everything and be popular about everything, that's very easy. But, like, politics is senior hurling, like. It isn't easy. It's about making decisions. And some people, you know, they want to be in the bog in the meadow on the one day, and you can't be that. No, well, some independents will obviously, you know, create this impression that they can. You can't. government is about making decisions on behalf of the people that are
elected. Are you making a mistake, though, in drawing a line between the local election results and the general election results? Two entirely different things, where personalities and track records play a role. You've got parties out there who want, you now have an independent grouping who are growing in strength, and they want to be part, and I'd say would be willing to be part of the formation of the next government.
Well, you know something, Jerry, if they did, I'd hang up my hat, because up to now...
It happened before independence formed part of a government.
There was an element of independence went into government before, a small element. But look, if that was to be the case, sure, wouldn't that be brilliant? But look, you know, there's a lot of things that I believe in, and, you know, snow in August is not one of them. I don't think that's going to happen. But what I do think is going to happen is I think that the people are going to look to see what's happening in America, what's happened in England, and that's, you know, that's a real good example for making a bags out of everything. Look, what's happening in Europe, and looking on and saying, do you know something? Notwithstanding all the difficulties we have here, we have a fairly middle-of-the-road government that isn't extreme in its views, and the economy is going well. There are problems, yes, but they're
housing,
doing their best to fix
them. Key amongst them.
Yes.
They might give it over to the other side, see if they can do a better job.
And you know something? You can write all the books you want about housing, but writing a book and mixing concrete are two totally different things. And there's been 100,000 people put into houses by this government since it came into existence in 2020, and the population continues to rise. And when you have the main opposition party promising people that they were going to have a house in Dublin built, ready to go into for 300,000, you know, a lot of your colleagues as commentators in politics were wondering where did it go so wrong for the political party. I think at the end of the day, taking the people for a fool was probably the biggest one.